Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 7 of the podcast Parents Uninterrupted, the podcast that dedicates its contents to the well-being and fulfillment of parents while raising children.
And Rose and I just want to apologize right now for not being as active as we wanted to be on our episodes. We've fallen a bit behind because we actually had rats.
Like, no kidding. We found a true rat's nest in a corner of our basement. I know, as gross as it sounds, it's actually kind of a big problem in this pandemic.
I actually like to say it was a great bonding moment for Rose and I during this pandemic.
You're funny. Well, you know what? I have been totally neurotic over the situation. So if you call that a bonding moment, I guess you are doing a great job keeping me somewhat sane.
Okay. Enough about the rats. We've got a podcast here. So why don't you tell people what this podcast is about?
All right. So we promised everyone when we started this podcast that this is going to be, or every episode is going to be an honest conversation about parenting and how we can live a fulfilling life about parents. So this podcast is going to be a very honest conversation, and is somewhat of a hot topic. We're going to talk about the judgment in parenting, like how we as parents judge each other and how that is damaging for the people being judged and also the people who are doing the judging.
Now, that's a hot topic. That's a hot topic for everyone. But I know this is something near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, it is. I have to say that I truly believe all this judgment that we do really has a negative impact on all of us. So I'm really hoping with this podcast, and by really just kind of bluntly talking about what we do as parents, it's going to help people realize maybe there is something better we can do than just always judging each other. I'm going to come out first, honestly, and to just let everyone know I'm not here to pretend I'm on a higher moral ground. I do plenty of the judging myself. I did a lot more in my children's early years than I do now. But life has a unique way of teaching you a lesson. So I think my kids were not, if I just can be very honest, were not the easiest. So that definitely taught me a lesson of no matter how hard I tried, sometimes the results were not necessarily truly reflective of your effort. So I was definitely also the one being judged plenty, which gives me this inspiration to talk about the experience.
No, I don't personally judge at all because I'm a saint. No, I'm just kidding. I judge all the time. That's just who I am. But that's a joke as well. Now, you've got a couple of stories that you're going to share with the audience, right? In terms of experiences that you've gone through and how that made you felt and maybe some of the perspective that that's given you.
Yeah, absolutely. So first, before I share my personal stories, I just want to say I also observe that in our society, in our parenting circle, in the recent years, parents dedicate a lot of energy and effort to their children, so which is an amazing and positive trend. But with that, I think I have also observed that the judgment factor has gone up way higher over the years. It's become somewhat of a competitive sport in some ways. But now let me start by sharing a story why I feel so strongly about this topic. So I do hold grudges when I was
judged. Yeah, you've held this grudge for about 6-7 years now.
I know. And you know, the interesting thing is, now I'm thinking about it, it's like, you know, I'm not a person who usually holds grudges about people, but why do I just like remember these stories so vividly? I think as a parent, when you're dealing with your baby, when you're dealing with your toddler or a grown child, we try the hardest as mom and dad at taking care of our children than anything else. So in those moments of, you know, great effort, if someone passes a judgment, it kind of feels like someone's kicking you when you're down. And because of that, it really just left such a deep impression. I am working on kind of completely letting it go, but I do think the story itself has certain merit to be shared so that I could, you know, let you see why sometimes it's just not the right thing to do to judge other people. So when I had Scarlett, who is my second baby, I felt like I was a lot more experienced than the first time. I knew what I was doing. I was in general a lot more relaxed of a parent than the first time. I was very, very high strung the first time. And with that, I thought I had it under control. Scarlett was not your easiest baby when it comes about going outside. Like, she was in many ways a lot calmer than Blake and had her little tendencies, was not as colic in her first few months as Blake. But she didn't like the stroller, for one. And for two, she didn't like being off me. And what I meant by that, and I think a lot of moms with newborns would relate to this quite a bit, she liked to be worn. Like, she liked me to wear her, either through a baby carrier or through like one of those wraps, but she likes to be on my body. And that, you know, for a very heavy baby, she was born 10 pounds. It went on for a good 7 months that she just would not sit in a stroller and be strolled around. Now, Blake was completely the opposite. So it just shows you kids can be very different. So one day I was going to the bookstore with Scarlett to pick up a book or just a gift for a baby's birthday party we were attending that day. And it was for Scarlett's friend, somebody we met in the neighborhood. So we quickly went into the bookstore and I took her out of my baby carrier. She had been on me for a majority of the day. And my back was even just getting used to it. And I put her in the stroller for a brief few moments because I really needed my hands to shuffle through the gifts and the books to find the right gift. So the minute I put her on her, you know, stroller seat, of course she started wailing. And she started crying, so I started, you know, shaking the stroller a little bit, vibrating it, or strolling it back and forth just to calm her a little bit. But then, no use. She just didn't want to be off me. She was well fed. Her diaper was changed. She just didn't want to be in the stroller at that moment. So I thought, you know what, second baby. It's not like, you know, I was so frazzled. All I needed was that 2 minutes. I would just quickly select a gift, go pay for it, and then off we go. I can take her out of the stroller and put it back on me again. But if she cried during that time, so be it, right? Like, it's not like she was in danger.
Not the end of the world.
Right. And that allowed me to get the things done. So as I was doing it, of course, she was crying. And then there were other people browsing in the bookstore as well. So then I didn't even notice, but there was a mom with 3 grown girls. And I think they were probably teenagers or even older than that. So then Scarlett continued to cry and I just hurried up and picked a book. And just about right before I was about to go to the cash register and pay. And the mom looked at me with her cat eyes and she said it loud enough so I could hear it. And she said, "Look at that mom. Her baby is crying and she's just completely neglecting her in the stroller, not paying attention. What kind of mom is that?" And she turned around and she said it to her 3 girls who were looking at me. And I looked around first. I immediately knew she was talking about me. But then, you know, I would give everybody the benefit of the doubt. So I actually scanned the whole store to see maybe there was somebody else. But no, there wasn't anybody else. It was really just me with Scarlett crying in the stroller. So then I was really upset and livid because, you know, it was already stressful enough for a baby who wouldn't stop crying. You're trying to hurry up so you could go out. And then somebody's passing this harsh judgment and making sure that you could hear her comment. And it was just a very disheartening moment. So I gave them like the dagger eyes that I could best get myself to do. So her kids started to feel uncomfortable saying, mom, I think she's not happy, or she heard you." And then the mom was like, "Of course she hurt me, because, you know, this is like the poor baby is being totally neglected." And she had this like, you know, expression on her face as if she just knew so much better. So I wanted to say something at that moment, but I had a crying baby in my stroller and I wanted to get this transaction over with. And at that moment, I just decided not to get into a confrontation or do anything. So instead, when the bookstore clerk asked me, "Oh, is there anything else you would like to purchase along with the book or register like a iReward card or something?" And I chuckled and I said, you know, with this baby wailing and bothering other people in the store, I think I just better hurry up and get a gift receipt and leave. And he's like, totally understood. And then he wrapped up in a bag and just let me go. So I chose not to comment back or anything. And then that family continued to, you know, exit the store with judgmental comments or what have you, or looking back. It was such a negative and a little bit of emotional experience to me that I went out the store. I put Scarlett back into my carrier, and I pushed the stroller and, you know, to walk to the birthday party that we were supposed to go to. And it was an uphill walk about 15 minutes. And by that time, I had carried her already throughout the whole day, and not to mention she actually sleeps on me at night as well. And it was like, you know, months of hard work already to take care of a baby this way. And it was just, you know, a tinge of sadness as well. It's like, you know, it was already enough for me to trying so hard to do my best. And then you choose at this moment to do this, to, you know, pass on a negative comment. So that experience stayed with me. And sometimes I wish I had said something back, but I don't think any good would come out of it. But I just want to give that story to everybody, so that you have the perspective. When we take a snapshot or a tidbit of what's happening, we make our own assumptions, right? And then we assume this is what's happening, but we know nothing about what this parent has gone through, what this child has gone through, and what is actually happening in their life. So for us to pass that judgment not only is totally unfair, it's also really bad experience and can be a sad experience to the people involved.
Oh yeah, it's almost like when you take a look at a picture that, like, I remember seeing this experiment where the person running the experiment would show the audience a picture, but they would only show a section of the photo to say, okay, so what's actually happening in this situation? And then people would look at it and say, I don't know, the person is actually scared. When you actually look out and expand and take a look at the full picture and really understand what's going on, the person actually wasn't scared, but they were actually on a roller coaster having a good time. So, I mean, it's unfortunate that sometimes we judge people, or sometimes people judge us, based on this like little point in time or this small window that they see in our lives.
Yeah, and then so from that day on, I made a mental note to myself to do better. And not only I would take that lesson as a reminder for myself not to judge other people in the time of, you know, in time like this. And then also maybe to lend a hand and just, you know, give my support to someone. And this goes really, especially true when you're flying with a family, with young children, you know, on the airplane. Trust me, all parents are trying to do their best. No one wants a wailing child, especially the child's parents, right? So if it bothers you so much, or if something, you know, rubs you the wrong way so much, try to see how you can support them instead of passing judgment. The second example I wanted to give is a judgment that can be actually harmful, in my opinion. So I'll just recall this a few years back when I went to a playground with my children, and my daughter was little, loved the swing, and I was swinging her on the swing, pushing her back and forth. And there was another mom on the next swing pushing her child back and forth. And I didn't know the mom, but we obviously, through her conversation, I didn't want to eavesdrop, but it was awfully close with two strings that I had to hear it. Through conversations, I think she was talking about people in my neighborhood that I actually knew. So she commented on this other parent to say, "Oh, did you hear?" So I'm not going to mention the child's name, but so-and-so broke his leg again. And the other mom's like, "Oh, again? Didn't he just, break his leg like 4 months ago or something?" And then this mom was like, "Yeah, I think that was his ankle. And this time it was like a leg fracture, and they had to actually go to the neighborhood hospital and get it fixed." And the other mom was like, oh dear, that must be just crazy, right? So I was thinking in my head, oh my God, the poor mom, like, can you imagine dealing with a child's broken bone or fracture, two different ones within a period of 5 months? Like, I would have, like, that's so stressful for a parent, right? But to my surprise, is this mom pushing the swing actually said, you know, that's not normal. And the other mom is like, what do you mean? And she's like, yeah, it's not normal. Think about it. It's like the same leg and two different areas. And the other mom's like, oh, I know what you mean. So maybe, yeah, it's not. It's that's like, and this mom, and continue to talk about how this child's mom is a very high strung neurotic personality. And sometimes they heard her yell at the child. And so then they continued to say that they suspect behind closed doors, and she's even more neurotic and probably loses her temper often. So at the end, they basically drew the conclusion from a ankle and a leg fracture within 5 months period of time to the fact that this mom may be potentially abusing her child and actually caused both fractures without any evidence and without any kind of, you know, concern. So I was pushing my child on the swing, and my heart just sank. And I was thinking, you know, is this really the kind of playground conversation we want to have as moms? Instead of empathizing what this mom has to go through, you're like this best detective in this world, that you can really put two and two together, connect the dots, and conclude to the point of child abuse. And also, if you were truly, genuinely concerned, where are you, you know, notifying the authority and actually thinking about doing something for the benefit or the welfare of the child? No such thing, right? It was just playground gossip. But this is what I mean by, you know, from one mom to another, now in both of their minds, they've established this assumption and suspicion. And how is that going to impact, you know, the reputation of this family, and of this child? And now this child's mom is going to be judged on a micro level for everything she does. And I just feel really bad. And I think it's totally unwarranted.
So it sounds like all this judgment is formed based on assumptions.
I think that's what judgments are, right? Like, we take, again, a snapshot of information, and we make all the kind of assumptions based on our own imagination possible, and for whatever underlying reason we're doing it for. But I don't think any one of this is really fact-based or true.
So then why is judgment such a problem? Like, why is this a problem for us in general?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So besides the bad experience I shared as a really kind of exhausted mom of a young baby, not only you're creating like a negative experience for this person you're judging, I want to talk about also another type of judging that can be damaging as well. So also, you know, I think the worst type of judgment is the similar to what I mentioned on the swing, but it can extend a little bit wider, is the playground, the schoolyard type of judgment. So I'm just going to clarify a little bit. I think everybody who is a parent knows that when your child goes to school, you hope, or you usually do, form a network of friends with other fellow parents so that you can get involved in the school council, you can understand what's happening in your child's class and education, and you talk about, you exchange tips on homework, on which teacher, you know, is very suitable for the particular need of your child. Like, you talk about this stuff so you can better provide guidance and stay on top of your kid's education. So usually not only you form this network, and for the few lucky people, you can actually form great friends out of that as well. But
so a lot of good comes out of that.
Absolutely. And I think that's very essential. I highly encourage people to get to know other parents and get involved in school affairs. And then so that not only you'll find that you can understand the dynamics of the friendship among your children better, and you can also contribute in whatever way you want to or can to the school system. But one thing I observed is when parents get together, talk about things, and, you know, besides the teachers and the what's happening in school, and sometimes the conversation really leads to the judgment of other kids and other parents. And I find this particular piece of judgment is especially damaging. And the reason, I'm going to outline a couple of reasons. One is, again, judgment is based on assumption. Nobody really lives with the other parent 24/7 and observe. And not only that, we're not experts. We're not education experts, and we're not child psychology experts, right? So our judgment is flawed based on very limited information, limited education. And when you judge, and especially when we judge other children, oh, this child is not behaving, this child has this kind of issue, that child has this issue, we inevitably label them. And we're talking about the kids of age between 4 to potentially high school, or even, but they're in their younger developmental years, right? So they not only change every year, every season, they could change every day. But when we label these children and parents talk, and, you know, these words get into their children's network, and they get into, like, they expand beyond the school ground, right? They circulate in other parents' conversations. What ends up happening is you label them. Sometimes you even put follows that drives the children, and these children get a certain reputation. And I'm not sure if that's all deserving. So you label them, you give them this reputation based on a very little observation. And then these kids can potentially have some difficulty in their social circle because their friends now perceive them a certain way and other parents perceive them in a certain way. So I think, you know, maybe unintended, but you're impacting that child's social life or how that child is perceived in school by just, you know, what you think maybe harmless gossiping or judgment. Also, I think on the other side is the parents of these children also get a lot of judgments. So it's very interesting that we talk about, especially parents like us, we have multiple children, we talk about how each of them is so different from the other, right? Like we talk about how, you know, they have the same parents. How can they be so different? So we all know these babies don't come out as a specific blank slate model where you can program, upload programs however you want to, right? They come out with their own DNA, their own tendencies, their own personalities, pretty much formed, right? So we do the best we can to guide them based within the realms of their own personality. But you can't completely change them, right? So I find it really puzzling when kids are not behaving, we tend to have this tendency, and myself included, I'm not going to say like I'm totally innocent here. We have this tendency of jumping into a conclusion right away. Oh, it must be the parenting. It must be the parents that have done something to cause them to behave this way. Like that is a total speculation and assumption. Like the fact that two of my children are completely different, it just speaks volumes of how little control we have over their behavior. And also, we have no idea how hard somebody tried or what is the situation there. And the fact that, you know, the expectation of kids are going to behave so perfectly because the parents provide everything they need, it's not realistic and it's not real. So I think when we're judging the kids, we unintentionally establish this reputation for them that could affect their social life. And then we unfairly pass a judgment to their parents, which again, not only can make the parents be perceived a certain way in school, it's also very high school, right? Like then we're like back in...
Oh, it's so high school, so clueless.
right? Like, and then we become like, oh, you know, the parents are not doing a good job. And like, you know, oh, come on, right? Like, are we like who, everybody is doing their best and is not enough, right?
So on a serious note, what if you actually have a genuine concern? So what if you witness something that might be inappropriate? Shouldn't we be judging at that time?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. So going back to that schoolyard conversation where the mom was literally speculating that the parent has something to do with the two fractures that the kids suffered. So I would say, honestly, if we feel we've witnessed something inappropriate or we've witnessed something that's damaging to the kid, that could put the kid's health, safety, welfare at risk, then it is our obligation to follow the right process and notify the right authority. So you can do it anonymously. You could do it with your name and whatever left. There are many, many different resources or avenues we can explore. You can talk to a teacher about it. You can bring it to attention to the school principal. You can even notify child services yourself, or even call the city and ask what you're supposed to do as an anonymous person. But that's if you have a genuine concern, right? So I think people who have a genuine concern, who don't do anything and just gossiping, that's irresponsible. And the people who, you know, speculate a whole bunch and probably don't really have a genuine concern, and you're passing judgment and gossiping about this, and I honestly think then we really need to look at ourselves, go a little bit deeper why we have this need to do so.
And I know we've been working really hard on improving ourselves and being less judgmental. And I know there's a couple of things that you've actually really worked on. Do you want to share it with everyone? Like, what are you working on to become less judgmental?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, we're not at a higher moral ground here. We've made just as many mistakes as anybody we've observed. We've passed judgments before. We've jumped into conclusions before. I have gossiped before that I'm not proud of, right? So, but I think the self-awareness and recognizing this is not a good thing to do, and it can be damaging for other people, is the first step. And for me to work hard at not to easily pass judgment for others, it's actually benefiting me from a psychological perspective. Because, you know, if we really look inside ourselves and think, why do we need to pass judgment on others? I think their underlying or subconscious reason can be a couple. One is that somehow we feel this need to be validated of our own parenting. And this one is, I especially suffer this one. I think because of the amount of effort that we put in, it's a whole lot. So I being a results-oriented person, that I wanted to have some kind of acknowledgement or validation internally to say that, you know what, you've done a good job. So by comparing with other people and feeling like, oh, they're doing a poor job, I'm somehow feeling better by comparison. And that validates my own feeling. So that's something that I recognized that I was doing unconsciously. And having that awareness kind of, you know, pulls me back to say, hey, wait a minute. You know, we've done what we could and or what we know how. And we continue to improve and we continue to learn. And it's all a journey. You know, I don't need validation externally. I don't need to see that my child behaves better than other children. It is, you know, the fact that the effort that we put in, the fact that we did our best, that itself is already enough. It's enough of a validation for myself. So I pull myself back to think in this frame of mind, and that kind of prevents me from going down that path. And the second part is that the realization, and this is something that I think applies to everybody, the realization of what our relationship is with our child is really unique. Every family is unique. Every child is unique. Every chemistry between the mom and the child, or the dad and the child, and your family's dynamic is unique. There's really no comparison. And this uniqueness also established your very special relationship between you and your child. And this relationship is what it is. By you having certain views of other people does not change your relationship for the better or worse one bit. The only thing that changes a relationship is you and your child. So by realizing that externally, other people, or however we judge, does not put you, yourself, in a better situation of your relationship with your child, is really the true driver. It's like, okay, then you know what? Maybe I should just focus on myself and let other people, you know, deal with their own challenges. Of course, if you're a very kind person and you would want to, you know, in some way to support, then be genuine with that support. Like, I really want to call out this piece. Then, you know, offer some resources and things that you can do so that, you know, we provide that village to raise the child instead of standing on the sidelines and passing judgment.
Yeah, I like what you said. So, I mean, it's really being both self-aware about yourself and your tendencies and maybe what you're thinking at that moment and, you know, determining whether or not, hey, maybe I shouldn't be so judgmental. The second piece is the uniqueness. Like, our situation is our situation alone and doesn't really apply to everyone else. So we shouldn't be using, you know, what we're going through in life as the benchmark in which we measure everyone else. And then build those bridges. Like, if we really feel that we should be helping someone, like, help them out. Do things, help them out, build that community so that we can all flourish together, as opposed to knocking us or knocking each other down. So before we conclude this podcast, is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah, so I just want to give a few tips that now having, you know, if you're in the same boat as me, you realize this and you do want to do better and not to be such, not to be so judgmental about things. What are the ways we can get ourselves out of the situation when you find yourself in the middle of a conversation where other people are passing judgment? Because let's just be honest, right? We need to be practical here and we need to build good relationship among each other. So, you know, appearing to have a higher moral ground and, you know, be that person to tell everybody, it's not going to do too well to for us to build the relationships, right? So then what can we do to not participate in such judgment, but at the same time still not damaging the relationship we have with others? And I have a couple of tips. So one, the first one is maybe you're that person or you be that person to bring in a different perspective. So if I find other people judging other parents based on the kids' behavior or what have you, I tend to be the person to say, you know what, I actually experienced something similar with my own child. And I can assure you, like, this is what we've done. But sometimes, you know, things don't go that way. So I try to make them see the perspective of the other side. It's not as easy as black and white as it always seems, right? So you can be that person. The second thing you can do is, you know, if you can't change it, sometimes you could not participate or ignore it. So there are times that I have to excuse myself to say, oh, you know what? I'm late for something else. I really need to run. So I'm not part of that whole discussion about someone else. I think at times that really works in a sense that you can't change people and how they are, right? If they don't realize this, they don't want to change and it's not our job to change them. But the least I can do is not participate in things that I find not quite positive. And by doing this, it also has less influence in my perception of the person they're talking about. So I form my own opinion. So I'm not really kind of, you know, biased towards this person because I heard all these stories. So I tend to just, you know, find an excuse and leave the conversation. The last thing that we can do is the one Ethan and I already mentioned, is offer your support. So when people are talking about this and judging, and then you go, you know, how can we support this family? What can we do? I find that people who are only interested in gossiping, the minute you mention something of an action item or actually, you know, extending your helping hand, they really are not interested and they back out or they change the topic. But for the people who are truly concerned and have a kind heart, and then maybe you're starting something that is amazing and positive and creating a community that can be incredibly supportive to parents around you.
Well, this concludes episode 7 of Parents Uninterrupted. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your day. Like, subscribe, and comment on our podcast. That would be very helpful.
And before I end this episode, I just want to leave everyone with one last thought. Let's all not treat parenting as a competitive sport. Our value does not lie in how we measure up against each other. And let's bring that village back. It takes a village to raise a kid. And let's all lend a supporting hand and be that village for each other.